Lovely. So if you could confirm your full name, please.
Yeah, full name is Graham Nicholson.
And your date and place of birth?
I was born in 19th September 1948, right in Hull, in Yorkshire. But my father was a doctor, so we moved around quite a bit. And I ended up in the List Hospital in Hitchin, as it was. It's now in Stevenage, but it wasn't Hitchin originally. And then I moved here when I was a teenager, when I was 18. I came to, which is now 48 years, is it? 48 years I've been here. So I came here in the 60s, the late 60s, so I've been here quite a while.
So when you say you came here, do you mean to the depot or just
no,
to Cambridge?
No, I came to Cambridge when I was 18. And I've now been working here for, about 18 years, 19 years. And I've been working in Mill Road and in the city centre all of the time that I've been in Cambridge, you know, for 48 years. And a couple of those jobs has been a milkman, all in this area. And two of the depots were very close to here, so I know this area really well. And a taxi driver. So I've done that. I've done numerous other things, but it's embarrassing to tell you what I have done because no one ever believes me. They think I must be about 110 years old if I've done all these things. But I've done not just one job at a time, I've done a couple of jobs at a time, I've like nightclub owner and all sorts, you know, so I have done a lot. I know this area and have known this area quite well for the last 48 years.
And what brought you to the depot for work?
Really, I was working as a taxi driver, and as everybody knows, there's too many taxi drivers in this area now, and there's not living, and my wife, who's a teacher, kept saying to me, when are you going to go and get a proper job? So I compromised, really. I came and got a part-time job here. I worked doing the night shift and weekend shift, which was answering the emergency line. They have a night watch, which is like the emergency line. So it was during the week and during the weekend, and that more or less just covered our mortgage, what I was earning there, when I was working about three or four shifts a week. And then while I was here, a job came up, one of the rangers and upper management said, well, that'll suit you down to the ground, wouldn't it? So I came and worked here after that. So I've been in my present job for about 16 years, but I did retire recently. I retired and they offered me flexible retirement, so I'm back. So I've taken my lump sum, taken my pension, but I'm just working on them 4 days a week.
And how has the site changed since you first came
the
here?
The site's changed quite a bit. You probably already know that the stores were moved. When I first came here, they were redoing the gatehouse, and then we were all in porter cabins at the side of the gatehouse to begin with, and that was all being done up. But before that, I came here when it was actually a weighbridge, because I used to deliver milk. Remember delivering milk here? Because the milk depot was on the other side of the bridge. And I used to have to come in here, and I can distinctly remember the lorries being weighed as they come in and out, and that must have been late 60s, early 70s. I don't know when they got rid of the weighbridge, but I distinctly remember coming here, because I used to come here to get paid, of course, once a week on a Thursday, and I used to see the lorries coming in and getting weighed.
And what about the work of the city ranger now? So I'm bobbing about a bit in time, but how would you describe, to someone who doesn't know what a city ranger does, how would you describe the role?
Well, I think the city rangers have been going 15, 16 years, and I think they originally started with one first, and there was two in the city centre itself, and it was really to make sure that everything was okay in the city centre, like almost like a greeting people as they came in, much as the ambassadors downtown do now, but it sort of expanded, and we became doing everything concerning environmental problems. So we were sorting environmental problems out, and it just got bigger and bigger. First of all, it was two of us in the city centre, then it moved so there was eight or nine of us. I think we're a bit short at the moment, but I think they're just appointing a couple of more. But we cover the whole, not just the city centre, but everything within the Cambridge boundary. And that's to do with everything environmental, and that can be everything from overgrown shrubs, state of the paths, state of the roads, bikes being left abandoned, which we get rid of. So it's really, we do what, to be honest, we've got now, so as we fill in the gaps that have been left, as the council has cut in and all the cuts that have been made, restructured as they put it, but it's basically cuts, isn't it? And they've cut in the staff, and we are filling the gaps, that the things that aren't getting done, and we are getting busier and busier as those gaps get more and more.
And do you have each have your own patch?
They keep changing that. There used to be six areas, but now it's come down to five. They've broken it down to the centre, west, north, south and east, to bring us in line with the police and everything. But it's... We do have people set in their own area when they're all here, but we have two of us that float, really. There was two of us in the city centre, but it sounds to me as if they're cutting that down, because I've always been in the city centre, and we've got somebody else that's in the city centre. Well, not always been there, but I have for the last 6 years or so been in the city centre. But now they seem to have bought me out, and I'm floating because I know the town so well, I suppose, and I'm doing other people's work when they need help, really.
So what does it probably isn't a typical day given the work you do, but what sorts of things do you spend a day, would you spend
a day? It can be everything from anything, like I say, just talking to people, giving people directions, but it's become more and more focused on the communities that we live in and making sure that people understand what the council expect from as far as waste management is concerned, residents and businesses.
So do you talk to residents
all
groups
the time.
Or
all
individually?
The time.
How
all
do you
the time.
Do that?
We go to groups, we go to any meeting that they want us to go to. We know the residents, they know us, and we get invited to ranges, to residents' meetings. We even get invited to school. We do a lot of school talks, talking to youngsters about littering and you know, recycling. And believe it or not, they pass it on to their parents. So it's, you know, it's a good chain, really. And lost my thread.
We were just I was just talking about what sort of things you did in a day.
All right, that's what's so good about this job. Every single day is different. 1 minute you can be in the town centre talking to buskers and asking them, you know, not to turn it down a bit or move on. We can't enforce that, but you know, it's a guide, but we can't enforce anything. And we can be walking around and suddenly you see some rubbish outside a shop that shouldn't be there, so you're going in and saying, you know, why is this outside? And to be fair, on a lot of occasions, they're not always aware of what we expect, because when they move in, they don't get anything from their landlords telling them what we expect, both from businesses and particularly residents. The big thing about mine, I can't believe that landlords don't let their tenants know when the bins are being emptied, what goes in which bin, which is, you know, in this town, because they're always changing, it's a real bugbear. The east on this side is a real problem because all down Mill Road is the east side, because all the time the houses are changing the tenancies, and you've got to start again. You know, you're going around, you think you've gone top of everything, and suddenly you see a load of rubbish outside, bins not being emptied. In fact, that's what we've been doing this morning or the last week or so. The students have gone, but of course all their rubbish is still in their gardens and in their bins, and the bins haven't been put out properly, so we've been going around in a truck emptying all these horrible bins that have been there. Some of them have been there for years. Mind you, the letting agencies pay us for that, but it's not a very pleasant job, to be honest. But it's I just can't believe the conditions that some people, even students, live in. They just it's disgusting, you know, and you can't believe what they do.
Yeah. And you go around, so you've got vehicles, your own vehicles. Do you each have your own van?
We don't always. There's generally there's eight of us, and we have five vehicles. So sometimes we're working together. So, I mean, the two people that are in the town have always been on foot, you know, because of the restrictions in the sound centre. So we've always walked around the town and covering the parks and all, and then the river, and the part of the river that comes through the town, and. The others have a van, you know, when they're going out to Trumpington, because the south covers Trumpington, Queen Edith, and Cherry Hinton's a big area. You know, and that's, I know a lot of it's green, but there's still a lot of work, especially this time of year with overgrown hedges and things, overgrown trees. what I've been doing, that's part of what I've been doing today. But it's, I honestly feel this is probably the best job I've ever had in since I've been. It's not the best pay by any means, but it's so satisfying, you know, what I'm doing. And I don't even feel like as if I've been to work, you know, because I'm just out and about meeting people, putting things right. And sometimes it's quite difficult, it's heavy work. Other times you're just talking to people, so it's a real variety.
And do you, what are the advantages for your job of having all the other services on the same site?
Well, it should work well, shouldn't it? You know, I don't know if I'm supposed to say this, but the communications between departments has always been atrocious. You know, and we're all in the same yard, and people, they don't talk to each other. And it's even worse, you know, you're in the Guild Hall, because I've got a desk in the Guild Hall and a desk here, and you don't know who half the people are, and here you don't know half the people are. It's not quite so bad here because it's a bit more open here, and in the job that we do, we're going from one department to another to get things done, and they come to us, ask if we can do things. So I know I would say I know 75% of the people in here. But in the Guild Hall or something like that, you've got no idea. You don't even know who works above you. You don't work in the same corridor. You just see people in the corridor. Who's that? You've got no idea who they are. You know, it's terrible.
In terms of what will be lost when the depot closes and things go their different ways, what do you think will, you know, what will be lost?
It depends what they do, really. I mean, if they just move this lock, stock and barrel somewhere else and they brought some of the other people in from other departments, and it could be a gain if they did it, go about it in the right way. I suspect it might not work like that, but because even when things have been running well here, you've got Mill Road, which used to be City Services, and it's almost like a different branch to the Guildhall or Mandela. You know, everyone in Mandela and Hobson, they're all different branches, so it's split up in all different places, and ideally, everything would be in the same place. Whether it becomes a unilateral council and we go all in one, it might even be better. You know, if you're all in one place, then you know. But you might even get to know who people are. But I'm lucky because the job we do, we cross over all the departmental boundaries. But a lot of people don't. A lot of people sit in their office, and that's it. Look at that bloody computer. Don't talk to each other. Talk to them. Really, this day and age, it bugs me that they send you an email from this desk to that desk. And I said, what are you sending me that email for? Why can't you tell me? Why don't you, have you lost all your social skills? Talk to me. In years to come, you know, won't have any social skills, won't have to talk to people, will they? Do it all on the sending an email. But I know they'll say it so I can trace that I've told you, but you know, there's no trust. All that trust's gone now, isn't it? You've told me, it'll get done. But that really winds me up. But anyway, so do you want to know about anything else around the depot? I mean,
yeah.
I find the two dairies that used to be here that I used to work at. I used to work for Unigate Dairy, and they used to have a depot, believe it or not, in Hemingford Road, which is now there's three buildings in Hemingford Road, and there's a gap in between them, and where the fridges and everything used to be, there's now two bungalows. But that used to be Unigate Dairy, and they used to have one in Tennyson Road, another dairy, almost opposite where the Shaftesbury, what was it called? Salisbury is. And they used to have another one up Pound Hill. But they although they were the same, Unigate was all the same company. They had three separate depots, but they all went up and became Unigate Upper Mercer Row, which is now, of course, Dairy Crest. I think it's even changed its name again, and More Milk or something like that. But I can't quite go back to when it used to be Goodrum's Dairies, but it was called Goodrum's first. Then it became Home Farm Dairies. In fact, my first bag or cash bag had Home Farm Dairies on it, but in fact it was Unigate.
And was that when you were 18? Was that the first job you did?
I was about 20. I was a milk. I was a window cleaner before that, but it was about, I think, when I first got married. So it would have been about 21. Yeah, 21. Yeah, when I first was a milkman. And we weren't allowed to leave the yard until 10 to 5 because it was a residential area. So we used to have to get there at 4 o'clock and load up and just sit in the tea room until 10 to 5. A little bit different now. But it's quite interesting. When there was a big co-op dairy and a big Unigate dairy, and between them they had about 110 rounds. And I think now, and the co-op's gone, it's all been taken over by whatever Dairy Crest is, and I think there's only 10 rounds now. So that business has gone really down and down.
And what about looking back, what sorts of, I mean, you're saying it's great that how satisfying this job is now that you do lots of different things. I mean, what's been the most useful, the things you've learnt or the experiences you've had that you use in the job now?
Oh, blimey, countless. we work alongside the police a lot in the city centre, and it's changed slightly. We don't have as much close contact with the police as we used to, which is a bit of a shame. But we almost used to be the eyes and ears of the police force, and we used to let them know what was going on. You know, but you don't see the police very often. In the mornings, you don't see the police. You don't even on a Saturday morning. You don't see police around until about 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock. In fact, you can't get hold of one unless you've got an emergency. If you've just got an ordinary sort of thing, like a shoplifting or something like that, no police available. So I have to let them go, which is crazy, isn't it? I mean, well, you know what's going on in the police force now. We've got to pick your paper up. They're just so that I think they've become a little bit like us. They spend more time reporting than actually doing the job, and that's what's happened here. They've made our reporting. We used to have to report everything we do, right? Which was great because everyone could see what we were doing, and it used to take us about 20 minutes, just on the computer. And just write down everything that we did, you know, but on a spreadsheet. But now they've brought a system in. It's so complicated. It takes us about an hour to get our work in the mornings going through. Then it takes us another hour to close it down when we finish. So we're spending 25% of our time in this office. You know, when really, you know, it'd be better if we were out there. You know, I don't get it. Don't get it really. And I know my wife's a teacher, and it's exactly the same with teachers. They're not spending enough time teaching. They're spending most of the time in the back room, back office, paperwork. Police have always said it's happened, and I know it's happened in the hospitals and everything. There's too many managers doing work rather than doing it. And it's happened here, and it's getting worse here. You know, we always imagine in a big organisation like this, there'd be one person at the top, and it'd be like a pyramid, you know, and as you're further down, there'd be more people doing the work, more people on the ground floor. But in fact, it's going the other way. It's going the other way. There's more upper management. Yeah, seriously, upper and middle management, there's too many. You know, if it was your own company, you wouldn't have them, would you? You'd get rid of them. This is all right. But it's gone too much. But that's life generally, isn't it? That's every business, every public service, but in this public sector, that's how it's just, I don't know why. You'd never stand that in the private sector.
But fortunately, you do still spend. What percentage of your time do you think you're
out and
about?
I think about 25-30% in the office and doing paperwork, and the rest of the time is out. Mm. Which, you know, before we only spend about half an hour a day doing. When I first came here, you didn't even have to report it. You know, you just came in, can you do this? And they just off you used to go. Mm. And in fact, they used to phone you when you were out, the help desk, which used to be here, which first instigated here, which is now the CAS centre, but it was the help desk originated here. They used to phone you, and you didn't stop because they kept giving you stuff all day long. But they were recording it all. But now we have to do it. They used to have admin staff here that used to do stuff, but that's all been cut. So we have to do our own admin and our own reporting. It's just too much time in the office really for the sort of work we do. And we're all saying the same. We all want to be out there doing the work. It's much better for us to be out there meeting people, putting things right, explaining to people what the council expects them to be doing, and all the rest of it. But too long in here. That's mine. Sorry,
that's
I forgot about that.
Don't worry. And what's who? I'm thinking of trying to get some people in here as well now. Are there people that you remember who you really enjoyed working with, or who taught you a lot, or you know what?
I don't think there's people you remember. There's very, very few people that I don't like. Yeah, it's always been a very happy place to work. I don't know if that stems from the leadership that they had when I first came here. Graham Watts was a great director, unbelievable director. He knew everybody's name in this yard. when you walk, I think you could almost count on him coming into your office, or you'd see him every day, and he'd always speak to you. And it's things have changed, shall we say. It's, you know, you don't see upper management very much. You don't see directors. You don't see chief execs in the town very, very rarely. They'll argue that they're busy doing things, but I don't know. It doesn't take very long just to walk around and say hello to everybody, does it? And you'd be surprised how far that goes. Just walking around and speaking to people and letting people know you know their name. Even if you only ask about the cricket, you know, which one of the chief execs used to do it in the guild all the time, always spoke about cricket and rugby.
So is there anything I haven't asked you about, either about your work or about the site, that you think would be of interest or you'd like to share?
I did ask someone about what used to be weighed when they went out, because I just assumed it was just all rubbish. But apparently they were telling me that it was like a siding here originally. Has anybody else said that? There used to be like a siding.
A platform.
Yeah, and they used to bring stuff here, and that was what was being almost like a goods yard, wasn't it? Part of the goods yard.
Yeah.
Never occurred to me, actually, when I came here as a milkman. I just came in Weybridge, and I just thought, I wonder what they're weighing. But it never occurred to me that it was an extension of the station just the other side.
Mm-hmm.
So it was actually a platform along there, and stuff was brought in here.
And before this was the council yard, it was an iron foundry here.
Was that?
Yeah. The Eagle Iron Foundry, and they built a steam locomotive here on this site.
Crikey, didn't know that.
Mm. That's before, because 1905 was when it became the council depot. But yeah, it's always been a busy site, should we say.
And right outside was a library, of course,
yes,
wasn't it?
Yes, yes.
Well, I do remember that being the library.
It's a funny combination, one of the noisiest places next to a quiet one.
An iron foundry, and right next to the Romsey. What's Romsey, isn't it? It was Romsey Library, wasn't it? Yeah,
quite. They called it Mill Road. It was called Mill Road Library, yeah. But yes.
Yeah, I do remember that. We used to clean the windows on the library, funny enough. What else? No, Fife's Bananas and that, all further along the road, wasn't it? Because they always just go, I mean, nowhere Hills Road Bridges.
Mm-hmm.
There was a Fife's and Portage's depot there, and it was vegetables and Feist Bananas coming in there, because I delivered the milk there, of course. And they used to that was like a siding where the fruit used to come in. So I don't, what did they bring in here, the coal and everything down here?
I think so, I don't know. Or, yes, I think, you know, supply wood, you know, so timber, coal, yes.
Yeah, that'll make sense, because it's near to Ridgeon's down there and other big suppliers. So that's funny, really, isn't it? Because you've got three commercial areas, platforms, if you like, because in the middle they had all the mail and everything coming in, and the papers used to come in at the station. And on the other side of the Hills Road Bridge, you had all the fruit and everything was coming in. So it was everything used to happen down here.
Yeah,
it was quite a hive of activity, really.
Mm.
Yeah. What did you say earlier about the Sally Army being a picture house? What was a picture house?
It was the Salvation Army shop. It was Fine Fare.
I do remember that.
Yep. And before that, it was the picture house. It was one of the first cinemas.
I don't remember it being a picture house, but I used to clean the windows at Fine Fare and the floors about three times a week. To do all the floors right the way through there first thing in the morning. But there was another picture house up here, wasn't there?
The cinema, yeah. Known as the Flea Pit, I gather.
Yeah, that's a little bit before my time, I think. I don't remember it being that, but I've heard people talk about it. That's about it,
really, isn't it? Yeah, no, if there's nothing else you'd like to add, that's great. Thank you. Thank you very much.
I won't have a job before.